Good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Clark Neely, and I'm going to talk with you today about basically impacts that we saw by applying tebuconazole on a number of different hard red winter wheat varieties that we typically plant in Texas. Before I get started, I'd like to acknowledge all of my co-authors here, the Amarillo crew, Jackie Rudd, Jason Baker, along with Russell Sutton, who's our researcher in Northeast Texas, took care of the Prosper location. And then the College Station crew, Amir, Daniel, Brian, all helped out with the locations in College Station and Castroville. And also I'll point out that this was partially funded by Texas Wheat Producers Board. So with that, if you're not familiar with Texas agriculture, we plant a lot of wheat, about 2.4 million hectares. Roughly about half of that is harvested for grain. Some of the primary diseases that we run into, in addition to some of the viruses, are leaf rust and stripe rust. Leaf rust tends to be a problem nearly every year, and stripe rust is kind of intermittent, but some years it can be pretty devastating. So we do try to keep track and monitor and manage for those diseases in Texas. And based on trials that we've done in the past, just to give you put it in perspective, we have seen as much as 46% reduction on susceptible lines when we do have severe infestations of leaf or stripe rust. So the main objectives of this trial were to try and identify environments in Texas where the use of fungicides would most likely increase yields. Secondly, we want to identify hard red winter wheat varieties specifically that will respond to tebuconazole. And then lastly, we're not just interested in yield response, but also if it's economical for producers. So methods materials, we started out the first year of this trial with about 16 varieties, and by the third year, we were up to 20. We did five different locations over three different years, and this is an ongoing study, so we planted it again this year, so we'll have more data. We should, in theory, have 15 site years. We've run into a lot of weather issues, so due to drought, hail, freezes, we were down to about 9 site years total. We used tebuconazole as our fungicide. We applied foliarly at 4 ounces between Feeks 9 and Feeks 10, which is flag leaf emergence, to fully emerged. This was set up as split plot design. Basically, we had our typical variety trial, which was set up in a randomized complete block design. We took a subset of those varieties, did the same trial right next to it, and then that got the fungicide. So really, the blocks or the reps were nested within each treatment. And we analyzed within ProcGLM and SAS. So the different locations that we had bushland, which represents our panhandle, Chillicothe, which is the rolling plains of Texas. Then we had Prosper, which represents our northeast corner, which is higher rainfall, pretty heavy clay soils, typically one of our higher producing dryland regions of Texas. And then we have College Station and Castroville. These two locations are mainly dryland. They did have some supplemental irrigation, and they represent our southeast and south regions of Texas. So to put things in perspective, these numbers are basically just averages, yield difference based on the tebuconazole for each location. And you can see we had these were significant over every location except for Chillicothe. Both of those numbers were not significantly different in 2012 or 2014. And then I'll point out that Prosper is where we consistently saw the best response each year, with the greatest response being in 2013, over 1,000 kilograms per hectare. And also note that in 2014, we tended to have a reduced response because we did have an unusually low infestation of leaf rust, and when we did finally get it, it came pretty late, so it really didn't impact our yields as much as we typically see. So when we break it out by varieties at each location, you can see that in bushland and Castroville, where we only had a single year of data, we only had 3 varieties at each location, and those varieties were different at each location. Of the 6 varieties that were significant, they included Greer, Jackpot, TAM 204, TAM 304, 112, and Everest. Greer Jackpot 204 are known to be somewhat or very susceptible to leaf rust. However, kind of surprisingly, Everest and TAM 304 are both rated as resistant, but we did see differences. I will point out, too, because of the experimental design, because they were basically two studies side by side and our reps were not the same, I think that might account for some of the variability and noise that we're seeing here. I would guess that there are actually some more significant differences here that we just didn't pick up on. And then at Chillicothe and College Station, we had 2 years of data. Basically, at Chillicothe, we did not see differences for any of the varieties either year because it's a drier climate, there's no irrigation, and we just don't usually see the disease pressure there on a normal year. College Station, the data was kind of noisy. In 2013, we did see pretty good significant differences for about six of our varieties there. In 2014, it was we did not see detect quite as many differences. And really, the varieties that we saw the most consistent improvement in yield for both years include Jackpot, Ruby Lee, and TAM 401. But again, like I stated earlier, some of these negative values weren't significant, but kind of go to show that there was some noise and some variability, unexplained variability, in those trials. Normally, we would not expect to see any negative response because of these fungicides. And then finally, our last location, Prosper, was by far our best location. We had consistent results. We had results all 3 years. So basically, our most robust data set that we had out of the whole study so far. And when you average it across all 3 years, basically every variety except for Everest was significant. So taking a quick look at the economics, what are our net returns going to be using tebuconazole? Because we're limited on time, I just looked at Prosper since that was our best data set. And you can see if we use the current price of wheat, which is, I calculate, about 22 cents per kilogram, which is roughly $6 per bushel. I know the price is slightly lower than that, but gives you a good idea of how much we could expect. Then we look at our application cost. Right now, estimate for tebuconazole would be around $17 or a little over $17 per hectare. So when you calculate that all out, we have pretty significant net returns for our most susceptible varieties like Jackpot 111 and 112. And basically, if you were to assume that Everest was a significant difference too, that even covered its cost. Basically, when you boil it down, you only need about a bushel per acre response in order to pay for it. And for that reason, a lot of producers are going towards using tebuconazole as more of a preventative rather than a treatment. Just because it's so cheap, it's just kind of an insurance, so they'll throw it in with a top dress, or if they're spraying for weeds or something, they'll mix it in their tank. If you're looking at the break-even response that we would need, if you look in this column, which is our current estimate for tebuconazole, $17.30, and if you use 22 cents as the current price for wheat, we only need a response of 79 kilograms per hectare in order to pay for itself, which is really not very much at all. Now, if you were to go to the left-hand side of this chart, this 4130, that's over double what the tebuconazole is, but very more comparable to some of the other products out there like Quilt-Excel, which also are good products but considerably more expensive, and therefore you would need a much larger response in your yield to pay for itself. And for that reason, a lot of guys, if they use those products, they're going to be using that as a treatment, so they're going to go out to that field and see they have a problem before they apply it. They're not going to mix it in. So in summary, the yield response to tebuconazole varied by variety and location as we would expect. Nearly all varieties respond in at least one location in 1 year. The most consistent ones were Jackpot, TAM 112, Greer, and Armor. Of those four, Jackpot, 112, and Greer are already, they're rated as susceptible or moderately susceptible to rust. Armor is currently rated as moderately resistant. However, due to this information, it appears that maybe that resistance is starting to break down. in the end, tebuconazole is a very economical option for our producers to control any fungal diseases in their wheat. And like I mentioned earlier, we really only need a 79-kilogram yield response to break even. And in most cases, you're going to meet that and exceed it. And then when you back away and look at the different locations that we need to be considering applying fungicides, basically if you're in Bushland, Castorville, or College Station or nearby, your variety selection is probably going to dictate whether you're going to apply that fungicide or not, because in some cases, some varieties we saw responses, some we didn't. In northeast Texas, where we tend to have more rainfall, better soil, higher yield potential, we also tend to see a greater potential for differences or responses to fungicide. So in that case, it even if you planted a resistant variety, we typically saw a response. So in most cases, that would pay for itself, irrespective of what variety you planted. And then finally, Chillicothe, due to the drier climate that we have in rolling plains, in most years, it's not going to be economical to apply fungicide. We do have exceptions where we have stripe rust epidemics like in 2010, but more or less, it's not going to pay. So with that, thank you for your time, and if there's any time left, I'll answer any questions.
Do you have any questions for Clark?
Typically, our variety trials, we do not apply any fungicide, and that's kind of our standard. That's how we get our ratings for our publications. We like to know what they'll do with minimal inputs.
So. It's different though than what the growers are experiencing feedback, I guess.
Yeah.
Is anybody looking at any of the physiological effects of the fungicide, like on photosynthesis or water use deficiency?
Not at A&M. It's not that I'm aware of. I know there's products out there like Preaxor, which they kind of promote as a growth promoter or something like that. And we have run separate trials that we do for commercial companies, and we've included Preaxor. And one of the years that we tried it, we had basically zero or very, very little rust pressure, and we did see a yield response, interestingly. So there might be some truth to that. But.
Any further questions? Excellent. If not, please join me in thanking our speaker.